we've been doing these panels since the very first summit, and they've been just a really fun thing where Cody has moderated the wives panel, I've moderated the husbands panel, and so we are going to bring them out. So it's Cody and Gammy and Angel and Melanie Fiona and Melissa Fredericks. So can we, there we go. Cody! And here they are!
Okay. Woo. Y'all know that I have been on and off the stage all day, but never seated. So I'm taking a minute to just talk a little slow. So welcome to the 5th annual Black Love Summit Wives Panel. This is a conversation that we started year one, basically like to kind of be on the fly, be a fly on the wall of just some wives chatting and then husbands in a couple minutes about what you learn, what you didn't expect, et cetera, right? And so I hope Tommy properly introduced everybody because I'm just going to jump in. And I'm trying to look around too because I'm going to jump in with something that might make somebody blush, but I think they're on another floor, so they're not going to hear me. So yesterday I saw a video that someone shared of Tab and Chance's like Friday conversations. Okay. You're laughing because you know the video. And it was a clip where I think she had had dental work done. So she was like a little freer than usual. And based on the comments that I read and she would made a comment about seeing him start to communicate himself more and be a little more vulnerable. And as such, what she said after a dental surgery, and he told her, he was like, slow down, I know where you're going with this. She was like, that makes me like, come on, get these draws. Right? It was hilarious, right? I didn't expect that. And so, they're on another floor, so we're not making them blush right now. But they said it. And so I'm curious from you all, how do you feel and how have you seen your partners learn to, even if they were, let me know if they were doing this early on, but share. Does it make you feel a little bit like, you don't have to say what she said. Yeah. Let's talk about how it feels when there's a little vulnerability in both directions and how long that may or may not take for each of you.
You know what? I feel like especially being married to a Black man, there's this whole thing about masculinity and being able to handle himself and not really needing anyone that I'm pretty sure my husband kind of came into our marriage with. But then, like, life got to lifing, right? And depression got real. And things started to happen where he was really like, I need you to throw a life raft, something. And he had to become more vulnerable with me because he really did need help. And luckily, the Lord gave me the words to say, and I didn't, you know, mess up that opportunity. I remember when you were talking about it on you and Kev's old podcast of like, sometimes when they open up, if you say the wrong thing, that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you usually get some, that's it. There's no more opportunities. And luckily, in those moments, it made us closer. So now I am someone he trusts to be vulnerable with because that is still something he holds very close to his chest. There's not a lot of people that he's willing to share his feelings with. I don't know if it was like, you making me wet because you depressed.
No, not understood.
I don't know if it did that. But it did make us closer.
Yes. And how many years together and married?
We've been married for 15 years. I know. Yes, come on, God
yes,
is good.
Yes,
He is. But I would say it was after our first child. So probably we were in like maybe the fourth or fifth year of marriage where that started to finally, like, he felt more vulnerable to like just speak out his feelings more with me.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah. It actually happened for me recently. I had that experience. It's been challenging for Rodney and I because we are bi-coastal. So we're not together all the time. And just recently, we were having this argument. And I was trying to change how we manage that. Because typically will go for the rah-rah, you know, and I'm screaming and hollering, and that doesn't work. And so we tried this different approach, and it really made him share honestly with me how he was feeling. And it really softened me. It softened me. I heard him, and I was like, wow, I actually feel that too. So it was good. It was a good feeling, and it was important for us in that moment. So, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add on to that, where I think it's interesting. I'm also very passionate.
Passionate.
Shout out to Amanda Seals. I love very hard, and I feel very, very deeply, and I am a very emotional person. And sometimes my biggest thing in conversation is when I feel like I'm not being heard.
Yes.
It is the most triggering thing for me. Like, I can instant waterworks for me. And it's anger, it's sadness, it's frustration, it's all of these things. So I feel like when they have those moments of, I didn't have to arrive at a place for you to meet me where we can be in peaceful conversation. I think that is really helpful in communication for me. So when I don't feel like I have to be the bad guy, per se, to try to get it out of you, whereas there's more awareness. And, you know, my husband, he's a Gemini. I love you. Both of you in
the room.
Wherever
you are.
Both of you. And he definitely has a duality to him that is, you know, very, very open and free, but then also very in his thoughts. And so sometimes if I meet him on the wrong moment or day, I'm meeting just the side of him where he's like, I'm in my head. But those moments where he meets me with proactivity and willingness, that really helps me feel safe. And I think that that's what is the key, I think, to communication, is feeling like you can be vulnerable on both sides.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I do think that for me, vulnerability is a place where, I don't know, my panties get wet, but it is something for me that's very attractive, and it does help me feel connected. Kevin and I were in marriage counseling actually right now, and our counselor, we were talking about how important it is for me to feel like we're on the battlefield together. So anytime we're doing stuff, Kev, you know, and his masculinity is like, I want to put you in the castle and let me go out and I'll fight the battle. And I'm like, nah, we ride together, we die together. You know, that's what it is. So for me, I don't want to be in the castle. And I want you to share your fears and your, you know, your deepest desires and your dreams and all of those things. And it's a place for safety, because I can connect with you there. I can dream with you there. I can be afraid with you there. We can pray together. We can do all of those things. And it is for me where I'm like, oh man, I feel like we're on the same page. I feel like we're in this together. I feel like you're my teammate. Once we're there, then everything else is easy, child. Everything else is easy.
And to the point of what Tab was saying, I don't know, but vulnerability is very sexy.
Yes.
And if you play it right, it's also the beginning of foreplay, y'all. Okay? Because if a man can speak to your heart, if your partner can speak to your heart early in the day, when he walks by and touches your back as he walks
through
the kitchen,
you'll be open to it.
You'll be like, wait till these kids go to bed. You know, so I do believe that that is also a gateway to intimacy. Very much so.
Totally agree.
So shout out to Tab.
Yes.
And Chance.
Okay, who you'll hear from later. But you know, definitely to his credit, right? Because that's why I like the clip so much, because they've been together so long, it was like that evolution. And I know that's important. So what would you say that each of you have learned about yourself since being married? What have you had to evolve to?
You know what's crazy is that...
She's like, nothing.
I didn't realize I wasn't always right. And
what?
No,
not Angel.
It's so odd that that's the case, because I really do be feeling like I'm right. And I mean, it's still a struggle. But it has slowed me down a lot, because I can be very, very flat-footed in my ideas. And because I really think I'm thinking rationally, and most of the time I am, but understanding that being right is not the objective, you know what I'm saying? And that, I mean, you talk about a battle. Me realizing that's not my objective. My objective is to have harmony in my household. My objective is to have harmony in my home. And understanding that that wasn't my priority at first is something that I had to learn about myself. And it's something that I'm still constantly focused on, is, am I out here fighting to be right
in concerns when me and my husband aren't on the same page, or am I really trying to get us in the middle so that we can continue to do this thing that we want to do together, which is marriage, which is family, which is love. So yeah, listen, clap for me because I need encouragement. It's a struggle.
Positive reinforcement. Anybody?
Oh, me next?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think what I learned about myself was that I'm good enough.
Mm.
I'm good enough as I am. Mm. And I've been married, this is my fourth marriage, and none of my other marriages made me feel that way. But Rodney makes me feel that way. He lets me know that I'm good enough as I am.
So. Shout out to Rodney. We see you. I'm curious. Well, I mean, definitely if anybody else wants to take that question, but I'm curious, not, you know, obviously we give Rodney his flowers, but like, is there anything you can pinpoint? Is there just him listening or him, is there things he said to you? And I say that to be a resource too, right? Like sometimes we're unknowingly, you know, invalidating our partner, and other times we're even unknowingly validating them. So is there any way that you would describe how he does that?
Yeah, like he is like my biggest supporter, and he does. He listens, you know, and we are partners in the relationship, you know, and I feel, and I hate when I talk about my other marriages, but that's what I'm comparing it to, you know what I mean? It was like they were the boss, you know, what they said went, you know, and they were the decision makers. We have a partnership. And that is so important to me. So important to me.
I also want to shout out the fact, I mean, and we've talked about this before, like Black Love is a platform that is for happiness, not just marriage, right? If you're somewhere you don't need to be, you know when to move on.
Right.
And so it's about listening to what works and what doesn't work. And so I just want to point that out because I understand why we don't want to harp on the previous relationships, but that comparison helps here for you and helps you appreciate what you have now.
Yeah.
And I just like giving Rodney his flowers.
I would say for me that I'd be self-sabotaging. Mm, I'd be doing it a lot, a little bit.
Okay, self-awareness.
Yeah, I'd be
for real.
I'd okay. be doing okay, it a lot, a little bit.
A little bit.
It's because, listen, I've said this before. Okay, then.
Racist. Okay. For the self-sabotage came the ambulance.
That's exactly how I'll be coming through, too. I realized that for every scenario, follow me, okay? For every scenario that I don't want, I create.
Mm, don't let Tommy hear that. Can
girl. Tommy, don't get on my friend. I love him. My ability to be like, I don't want this, and then go in and poke the bear to create exactly that scenario, I am a master, okay? I do it fantastically well. And so it's starting to realize, number one, that I do that, and then like heading it off at the pass and trying to figure out, okay, what do I actually want, and create that instead of the opposite. Because I actually think what happens for me, okay, is that I'm trying to confirm the bias that I already have. Yeah. So if I already believe you're this way, I'm gonna put you in an environment or in situation to confirm that which I already believe.
How do you stop this?
Girl, I don't know. It's called therapy. Yes.
Interesting. Okay, so wait, I have two questions. So the first is like, when did you realize that? And I know therapy is the answer, but like when, like if you can pinpoint an example or a moment where you were like, oh.
Girl, I can't tell you all my business now.
You wrote a whole book. I mean, Bob, marriage do be hard.
And listen to me. The example is in the book. y'all can go get it on
marriage
Amazon.
Marriage be hard,
come on. But it is literally, it's like communication things, right? So if I'm like, I want you to be vulnerable. I want you to be vulnerable. I want you to be vulnerable. But then I'm saying, I need you to be vulnerable. I need you to be vulnerable. You ain't talking to me. You ain't doing this. Well, I don't want to talk to you now because you fussing. Like, chill out. Okay. So how do I approach this situation in which I create a safe space for you to share without feeling like I'm nagging you, without feeling like I'm coming down on you, without feeling like I'm complaining or critiquing? Because that's what I'll be doing too. It's all of that. It's trying to figure out the right way to do that. I can't say today that I have the interventions on how to do it, but I can say I recognize that about myself, and it's something that I'm working on.
Yes.
I have a question for you guys. I'm somebody who has always been uncomfortable in my own skin, just really, really insecure, and I just get deflated. Do any of you all deal with that kind of insecurity?
I mean, I just had a baby, so hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting because that is something that also is, it comes up in your marriage, it comes up in your partnership, because there's a dynamic that you have with your partner that you want to feel, but then there's also the dynamic you have with yourself. And almost sometimes you're looking for this reassurance or this affirmative love or attention or, you know, commentary from your partner, and they don't know. They don't know what it is, especially after you've had children. Like, they have no idea. So for me, it's required me to have to say, okay, from as far as physical skin, like literally being like, okay, what did we just go through? And how much grace can we have for ourselves? And it should not matter. We don't need other people necessarily to validate us, not even our partners sometimes, right? Because it has to, I think, start with there. I saw this thing recently about Michelle Obama and Barack, and she was saying, you know, he tells me I'm beautiful. The sun rises and sets with me every day. She says, but if I don't tell me that, if I don't believe it in myself,
right,
then he could tell me all the things and it would never matter. And so I think that something that I've learned, especially in that, in metaphorical skin, in physical skin, is literally having the security within yourself. And that just takes a lot of self-reflection.
It does.
And it takes a lot of self-work and grace and patience. And, you know, you can't expect other people to necessarily have that if you don't have that for yourself. And so it's a journey. It's a journey.
Definitely a journey that I have to work on. Like, I have affirmations that...
And psychologically, I learned in therapy that for every negative thought and thing that you say to yourself, you need 7 positive things to like negate that.
Wow.
Psychologically in your mind. Because we will always focus on the negative. You know, regret comes from the things we didn't do. Regret will always come from the things we didn't do versus the things that we did. You know? And so our minds, they need work. And so when you think about that, when I learned that, I remember being like, wow. So if I stand in the mirror and I'm looking at myself and I don't feel my most confident or my most beautiful or my most secure, that one thought, I got to turn to myself and say, you are killing it. You are a bad bitch.
7 times.
You are an amazing mother.
Yeah.
You worked out this morning. You are awesome. You know, I have 7 of those just for one. So I just say that to say that I think everybody should remember that every time that they find it very difficult to pull themselves out of that place that is so hard that we can do to ourselves.
That's good. Gammy, I definitely, we can clap right there. I definitely identify with that. I've most certainly gone through my own kind of like self-esteem journey and my own, even feeling comfortable trusting my gut, trusting my instinct, trusting what I know to be right. You don't know how many times I've told myself one thing, done the opposite, and then been like, I knew it! Uh-huh. And it's like, if you would just learn to trust yourself, how many less of those I knew it moments would I have? It is a, like Melanie was saying, a journey, something I like literally just struggle with on a daily basis. And it's so interesting because it's hard for me to pinpoint like where that came from. It's not like it came, when I think about my parents, it's not something they instilled in me. It's just something over time, I feel like you're just kind of worn down and then you just kind of accept this idea that like you need the approval of other people. Standing in your own, you know, your own strength and your own 2 feet is not good enough. You need someone else to validate that, and trying to separate those two. We're like, first of all, like I got this peer point blank. That's a different energy that I don't always have.
So I'm just going to co-sign several things real quick too, because to your point, Gammy, I absolutely, like I was trying to decide how to answer your question about feeling insecure like all the time. Like I wouldn't say I have always felt that way as much as I kind of go through seasons. And one thing that has been super challenging that's affected my marriage is that like, we went into this Black love journey, like making a TV show and endeavoring to grow like the .com and the events. All these things are things we wanted to do, right? But it all happened so fast, partially out of necessity, right? One thing was a marketing tool for another, this is a good time to do this. And for me, you know, broadcast journalism major, film school after that, I might have me a master's, but Tommy's background is business and economics and film. And so there was so much, ooh, child, I'm not going to cry on this stage.
Cry.
Oh, there was a lot of insecurity around, like, well, I need him to do all these things. And so then I go Melissa route, not that I'm claiming this for you, but like kind of poking the bear sometimes and getting on his nerves about whatever I'm feeling insecure about. I don't even think he's in here anymore.
He's gonna watch it.
We know what his sweatshirt he's wearing. And so it's a cycle for sure. And so what I'm hearing too is like it's never too late to like recognize that, to do the positive affirmation seven times over, because it is a learning and a growing. And I'm typically like very accepting of that, of learning and growing and being imperfect. But that's a place where it's been hard because I have this person next to me all the time who just like knows how to do everything. So I absolutely relate and trying to express how that is a cycle in my relationship and appreciating what Melanie's saying about how I can undo that. Got it. Who got a question? I'm sitting with this for a second.
Well, listen, I don't find out until the picture is taken. I always be thinking, you a bad bitch. And then I look at the picture and I'll be like, oh, no. Oh, no, no. I always have higher hopes than what the reality is. Be grabbing sizes off the size rack. I ain't been that size, but in my mind, I'm like, bitch, you there. And then I can't zip in it.
But the energy is always there, Angel.
The energy, but then the picture be like, no, no. So for me, it is my marriage. So because I don't do a whole lot of negative self-talk when it comes to my person, my body. But my husband knows his words cut quicker than anybody else's. Cuts way quicker than... So, and for him, he... Positive is not always what comes to his mind first, okay? So that is something that he definitely works. Even today, y'all, I tried on one wig today. It didn't work out. And I was like, babe, what does it look like in the back? And he was like, because he's working on not cutting me down. He was like, so... I see a bunch of different textures. Is that what you're going for? And I was like, is it going to be bad? If I'm going to be upset at the picture. He was like, you're going to be upset at the picture. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. But for him, it is like, because my love language is words of affirmation. He is always walking. I feel bad for him, but this is part of the package. He's always walking this like tight line of like wanting to be a truthful partner to me, but also knowing that his words hold so much weight for me. So it is like a little dance that we're constantly doing because he knows that I, in my head, I'm that bitch. And he's like, but you're going to see the picture. And you're going to be mad at me. So trying to like that duality of like, he never wants to be the person to crush my self-esteem, but he also knows how I want to show up and how I want to feel about myself after the fact. So it is it's a cycle. It's just a little bit. Mine goes a little bit in reverse. So luckily I have him constantly working on being like, let me just snap this photo so you can see it now before you leave the house. But yeah.
I have a question to build off of what you asked or what you said was my love language. And I think that that's something that people start to, you know, are starting to learn about what their love languages are. There's five, I believe. And what I've learned recently is that your love language is not like how you give love and how you receive love may be two different love languages. You know, and also identifying what your partners are in those respects as well. I feel like once upon a time, I always say, I was like, I like to be pet, like pet me to sleep, rub my booty, rub my head. There's a love language for me. But these days now that I feel our lives have changed, we have two children working professionally, everything has become really elevated for us at this point. I think quality time has become my number one love language because I recognize that that's what I need to receive. And then I feel like the way that I give my love language is probably acts of service. And so I'm just interested to know if you guys have identified what your love languages are, how you give and receive, and maybe how that works within your dynamic with your partners.
I definitely want y'all to answer, but I want to make the point that it's interesting to learn that they change.
Oh, they change.
Like, I think when I first learned about love languages, I was like, okay. And then like 5 years later, I was like, do I even know myself? Like, it just felt like it had changed and that was bad, but it's not.
Mine are acts of service and quality time. I took mine probably when my kids are a little older, but I definitely realized that as you go through seasons in life, your needs change, and therefore that's what it's going to call on. But I know that I also give my love language in those same two as well. I like to, like, let's spend some time together. Let's talk. You know, I love deep conversations.
Me too.
That's part of the quality time. I really love that. But I also really enjoy making breakfast for my family and keeping a really clean home. Like, those are things that I like to give. And it's tough, though, because when my husband don't be caring about, you know, Kevin Fredericks will be like, first of all, we could just hire somebody. I'm like, but it's not the same.
Tommy, same.
It's not the same because that's my love language. Like, I want to do it. It's important to me that I cook and that I clean. Like, it's very important to me that I do it. He's like, it don't really matter to me. And so when it don't matter to him, I'd be like, yeah, but look at all the stuff I'm doing. You don't
affirm me.
Yes. Look at the house. It's clean. You don't care. You don't smell bleach and pine tar. I'm so confused. But those are definitely, like, those are my two. I give it that way. My husband don't receive it that way. Yeah. And I also need it that way. He also don't give it to me that way either.
Go ahead, Angel.
While words of affirmation are my love language, I actually want all the languages from him. I love them. I have never been. She's like, yes, yes, I want all of it. I like when he touches me, put your hand somewhere on my body. Yes. I want you to do things for me. Put some gas in my car. Oh my God, that'll get my panties wet.
Hello.
Put some gas in my car. Get my car detailed, draw, stripped off. Like, you ain't got to be vulnerable. Get that car clean. Quality time,
oh,
him being
God.
Here to be on this panel. That's going to get him draws later because he was here. He didn't have to be here. So I actually, even though my preference in the way I'm the most affected is words of affirmation, after being married for 15 years and having 4 kids, I'll take it how I can get it. That is where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah. Mine is touch.
Yeah,
I like the physical. But I do admit that quality time is starting to take over, especially since
the distance.
Yeah. The distance.
You're not going to say words of affirmation? I feel
words
like based on...
Words of affirmation are his.
Ah, okay.
Words
okay,
of affirmation okay. are his.
Okay. Because that's what I would
need,
say.
I need you to touch my body.
Yeah.
I need you to touch my body. He will agree. Yeah. He will agree with that.
I love it. I love it. All right, y'all. We're going to ask maybe one more question up here, and then we're going to make sure that Christian gets the mic so that he can... Christian Keys going to come up in here and ask us some questions, y'all. Okay, we got a single man up in here. Seeing if he learned anything. Seeing, you know, what he can find out. So I guess, what has been the biggest shift for you? What biggest change of seasons? I think I know what yours is. But what has been the biggest change within your relationship that has affected y'all's bond, how you relate to each other? Melissa.
The biggest change for us has been, number one, when I came off my job, was a really big change because your husband and your coworker being the same person is
Girl,
very...
word.
I don't... It requires a lot of grace.
Yeah.
A lot of patience, a lot of communication.
Yeah.
All of those things that it challenges you in a way that you didn't really realize, you know, that y'all wasn't all the way together. So that was a huge change. But the other really big, like, surprising change was actually COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Like, low-key quarantine was out here ripping the sheets off and being like, you didn't see the stain right here? Yeah. It's been here for 15 years. And y'all didn't see it. Y'all didn't treat it. Y'all didn't put no bleach down. Y'all didn't do nothing. Y'all just ignored it for 15 years. It was an opportunity for us to really, like, look not only at ourselves but at our relationship mm-hmm. in a way that we didn't before, because the busyness of life yeah. allows you to not have to.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you sitting at home looking at each other and you realize, in, oh, we don't communicate well.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't do the, and you're working together too? Ciao. Yeah. It was a huge hurdle. So yeah, those two were definitely the two biggest, like, most recent changes, transitions in our relationship.
Anybody else want one before we go to Christian?
Now, I would just say, personally, I think there's twofold for us, is that personally, we just had another baby, which changed the game, because we were 6 years in. I mean, we've been together for almost 10 years now, married only for almost two this year. We have a six-year-old, and we felt like we had the flow of life. Like, we were like, oh, this is what it is. We've got the groove. And then our daughter came along. And COVID brought some things to us. Being locked in the house, we made a baby. And you know, that dynamic of having two children with completely separate needs, in such a large age gap, one being a boy, one being a girl, they have different needs, being a baby and a six-year-old. So, you know, we're now doing man-to-man defense versus, you know, just like how we were able to be like, it's two against one. Now we got man-to-man defense. If we had any more children, it'd be zone. It'd be a problem. You know, we just got to go zone defense. So, you know, that changed our dynamic of how we have to learn how to work together. And then also just professional changes. I think through that process of me being a recording artist, I feel like my husband Jared met me in the perfect time, to be honest. I don't know if had he met me in a very high cycle of my career, would we have been here? Because my focus and my time and my energy would have just been in a different space. But I do believe everything works out exactly the way it's supposed to. So, you know, we met within that time. So the last few years of my life have been more dedicated to my family, now having another baby, and then also now launching this part of my career in this time, as well as him building his career as well. He's now elevated to another level in his executive position in management. And so we're now dealing with less time for each other and more responsibilities. And so we're navigating that. We're figuring that out now in this season of our lives. But it does require a lot of communication and therapy. Because help.
Shout out to therapy.
Because help.
Because help.
Help. Help. Anybody? Help. Somebody help. Help. We need a nanny. Just putting that out there.
Oh, we... All right, all right, all right. So, Christian, how do we do? What questions do you have for us?
Y'all did wonderful. I hope that the guys in here are taking notes. I was. I had a really good question, though, or something that I wanted to know, as women that are successfully married. Is it more important to be right or be heard?
I mean, I would say right, but
no, heard.
I was gonna say you were gonna say. I'm sorry, go ahead,
please. Feels so good, you know, but you know, sometimes we be reading from different textbooks, so I be right in mine and be wrong in his. So heard is really, really, really crucial, and we will talk in circles until I know he's heard me. Sometimes he'd be like, "Let me just translate it." So I think heard. Yeah. Because you know what? Heard helps for future things. Because once you hear me on this situation, you're not going to be confused about my reaction on a future situation.
Yeah.
So I think heard is most important.
Yeah. Heard.
Heard.
My answer is yes.
So both. Okay.
Correct.
This is the Q&A section for the audience. So if y'all have any questions whatsoever based on anything that they've said, anything y'all want to know, please put a hand up and I'm coming to you with the microphone. How about that? Is that okay? Shall we?
I know. Y'all so nervous.
Not
so shy. Why are you so shy?
We
got right over here.
Oh, we have somebody.
She got letters on her sweatshirt. You too. Okay, what's your question?
Yes.
Okay, so let me just tell y'all. You see we got sex on the shirt. So you know this
I saw the sex.
Coming, right?
sex educator.
Sex question coming. So I want to know, since you all, I'm assuming probably you spend time away from each other doing many different things. What advice do you have to maneuver through this and still keep sexual lives together, spicy and connected? What y'all got?
Okay, I'm going to go out and say this because this is not my go-to answer, okay? I am a very emotionally sensitive person. I like time. I like the romance of sex. I like all of that, right? But sometimes it's not like that. And I have heard from several many people that sometimes when you're not in that season of having the flow, that you also have to schedule it.
Word.
And that does not sound sexy at all. Yeah, that does
but
not
it's okay.
Speak, yeah, it does not speak to me at all. Like, I'm like, schedule it. I had to schedule a nail appointment, a parent-teacher conference. Like, you know, it does. I don't ever want intimate time to feel like another thing to do. But to be in the flow like anything, you have to be in practice of anything. That goes for, like, working out. That goes for any sort of routine you're starting to build. So I, several many people, you know, is scheduling and making the time that you create for that with you and your partner just as equal as the time that you say, oh, I have this meeting at this time, or I have a responsibility to show up somewhere. Oh, you have a responsibility to drop them drawers as well.
Well.
He's giving me the okay.
Just to add to that, because I've heard it a lot too, right? And it cannot feel sexy.
It doesn't feel sexy.
Sometimes it can also be one person sort of making that plan and initiating, right? So it doesn't mean you can tell the other person, you can put it in the calendar, you can like make it happen, but you can
you
also
have a sex
just
calendar?
Like decide for yourself, for my schedule, this is what's going down and I presume you're gonna be okay with it.
I'm just gonna add on to this that I definitely agree with schedule it, but don't, well, plus and, also and, don't just schedule the sex, schedule the quality time.
Yes.
Word.
Schedule the quality time. So put also in your calendar that we are going to spend time together.
Quality time leads to the sex.
Exactly.
And it's a win-win. Just,
right. If the sex is the only thing on there, it'll get done, but it's going to feel like the checkbox that it is. So also schedule that. The other thing I was going to say is, I've said this before, a lot of times with, when we say spice, what we're really saying, like we're bored, and what combats boredness is something new. So if you're going out on your date, do something new. Don't just go to the movies. Don't just go to dinner. A steakhouse is a steakhouse is a steakhouse is a steakhouse. Enough. Go, like, if I go to one more steakhouse, like, I'm gonna fight you. For real. Go bowling. Go roller skating. I want to do an improv class so bad, but they don't have them for just one. I don't want to do a class. I just want to do a drop-in. That's it. But, you know, we live in LA. Do an improv class. Do something new. Do something fun. Do an experience that you're doing together for the first time. It's just like when you were first dating. Everything was new. So it's exciting. And I'm, oh, we're going to go do this. And I can't believe. And this is our first time. You've been together for 18 years, child. I tell Kev all the time, go get kidnapped. If you tell me the same story one more time, I want to hear it. So it like infused that newness back into, listen to me. Care about your dog. I don't care. Don't tell me no more. But like literally infuse, girl, yes. infuse that newness and that excitement back into your relationship so that date night just doesn't feel like the mundane. It doesn't just feel like the normal. We're going to get dressed up. We're going to go to the steakhouse. We're going to come home. We're going to have sex. No, make a new memory. Do something. Go to paint. What is it called?
Sip and paint.
There you go. Sip and paint. Do something new. Do something fun. Get creative again. And that is a way to the endorphins in your body, it gets exciting and it's much easier to be feeling sexy and intimate and fun because we're connected in a way that we're not just sitting at this dinner table. I'm looking at my phone. You look, or I'm telling you, put your phone down. Girl, don't do that.
Right. I would say too that when you're talking about being creative, don't forget that you really have to be in communication with your partner. And sometimes sex can be the most difficult, challenging thing to talk about it because it just feels awkward. I mean, you know, I love my husband. I feel like I can talk to him about anything. But when it comes to sex, it still seems a little awkward. And don't forget about toys. They're very helpful.
I love the whisper.
We went from one end of the spectrum to the other.
It's a little awkward.
The toy.
Come on.
She said, don't talk about it, be about it.
I know something that really I felt like was helpful. Me and Marcus are working towards a goal of being like the healthiest version of ourselves. So we would work out in the evening at our afternoon, like in the evening in our gym at home. And typically we would end up doing it like soon after. And it was something about us doing something together and there being a common goal. And also knowing that we were both about to take a shower that made things so much easier.
So while it wasn't like specifically scheduled, it was this like activity that we were doing that easily led into the other thing. So I can't stress enough about like not trying to wait for this like romantic moment where you're swept into each other. I don't have those no more for the most part, unless I'm out of town and I don't got no kids near me. But when I'm at home, being able to create the environment for it to be easily accessible is what I feel like helps add the spice back.
Because she got four whole boys.
Four whole boys. Listen, four whole boys. We have, we call our executive meeting is what we call when we're together. Yes, that's because we got to get them up out of the house.
I see one
question.
Over there.
Oh, we got a hand up. There we go. Finally, participants. And on the way to her, during dating, sometimes nap dates are a thing. Are they still in marriage?
Did you say nap dates?
You don't schedule a nap with your person?
First of all, that sounds wonderful.
This is, what is this life of luxury in the future?
When I do that?
Nap date? Nap date?
Yeah. Y'all nap, gotta,
is that a 2022 thing? Y'all taking naps? I will. You I'm never, in ministry. Is that what that
you
means?
You never scheduled a nap? Thank you. Over here, thank you. Because it, listen, it may not lead to something. It don't need to.
I will say, I understand the beauty of taking a nap. A beauty of taking a nap is nice, but I've never scheduled a nap. Other than before the children.
It's never been a date.
After a brunch or a, like, come on.
I don't know.
I'm talking about after church.
Let me be clear while we
y'all gotta get it together.
I would love to take a nap while Tommy watches the children.
Come on, that's a good nap.
That is a good nap.
Heard me? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
As you spoke about aligning with yourself and discovering your love language, how important is that in alignment with your success of your marriage? Do you find that the alignment of your love language with your spouse or your partner help with the success of your relationship?
I want to clarify the word alignment just so that I understand that, in my opinion, right? The two, you two don't have to have the same one as much as you two should have an understanding of one another's and figure out how to play to that if that's not your love language.
Amen.
I want to, if I'm understanding your question or adding to it a little bit.
Go ahead.
I guess specifically, like I heard you say that you just discovered your love language, right? So did it change the dynamic of your relationship, knowing who you are now, what makes you feel good, what makes you feel loved? Did it change the dynamic of your relationship once you discovered, like, what your love language is?
Yes.
I think the...
Go ahead.
I think the one of the... And I got a question for you, and it is, where you get them boots from?
Let's see the boots,
more
sis. Come around the car.
I'm gonna come back to the love language, but
I can't
I'm gonna
see
need
the
you
boots.
To drop
around
the link. Just go and walk up
okay.
To
okay.
Hi, boots.
Honey.
First of
okay.
All.
Oh, with the see-through shirt.
Come on.
All right. That's a love language
come on,
right there.
Out here.
Bosoms.
Yes.
Single or married?
Single.
Okay, she said
well,
she's single.
She's trying to get took tonight.
All right. Come on.
All right.
What I was gonna say is I actually think one of the biggest failures in marriage is that we don't know ourselves enough to articulate our needs, our wants, our desires to our partner, but we expect them to fulfill them.
Word, word.
Woo. You can say it again.
Say it again.
You can say it
one more time.
I think if we did a better job of understanding our sexual needs, our love languages, our intimate needs, our physical needs, and then found the words to articulate that to our spouse, to our partner, to whomever, that gives them the opportunity to actually fulfill them. So I think the biggest, again, kind of pitfall that we find is we're expecting our partner, I'm so unsatisfied, I'm so this, he don't do this, well, have you told him? No. But that don't mean I don't expect it to be done.
Right.
I think if we did a better job, and I think it's our failure because we're not taught that.
Right.
It's not often something that we see in our homes, with our mom, with our dad, or, you know, whoever.
No.
we looked up. We didn't see them have those conversations. We weren't taught those. We don't read those books. We don't listen to those podcasts, whatever the case may be, to learn about ourselves. And then we expect, and we're just really out here unhappy and unfulfilled.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's, and that's to the point of the love language. Once we understand that, that's really just one facet of who I am. It's not the whole of who I am. So learning your love languages isn't going to solve all the issues in your marriage. It's just one of them.
And also on the flip side of that, learning theirs is also, it gives you more appreciation, because while my love language was words of affirmation, my husband was giving to me in acts of service and gifts so much that I wasn't registering the love and I wasn't appreciating it the way I'm over here. He's trying to fill up my tank and I'm like, yo, I take diesel. And he's like, but I'm giving you this premium right here. And so I think just being able to have the appreciation, even though you still work on trying to get the love the way you feel it, appreciate that they're trying to show you love the way they know, the best that they know how at the time, you know?
Thank you.
I want to go back to the beginning of the question or Melissa's answer specifically. What Melissa described about like getting to know yourself, you know, sexually, physically, emotionally, all of those things can and should happen at any point. Single, dating, married, it's not too early and it's never too late. And I think that that's something that we learn even in doing like the series is like talking to couples and realizing at that point, 5 years in, 10 years into marriage, where you're like, oh, I don't know what I want, or I'm not articulating what I want. And so the earlier we can figure that out, the earlier we can make progress in the life that we want for ourselves and the relationships with partners, with friends, et cetera.
And hopefully you have a partner who's willing to do the same.
Right. I think we can take one more. Yes, yes. She said the boots are from Saks, y'all. All right, that's Jennifer Henry right there.
Hey, girl, yes. Skiwi. So everybody has couples that have influenced their marriage, right? You have aunts and uncles that had healthy marriages. I had an aunt that used to turn her hearing aid off when her husband talked to her. It worked for them. But they all had an impact on what you all formed in your own household. So what do you hope your legacy will be from your marriages for those who are watching you?
Okay, final question.
Gammy wanted to know too, the legacy that you want to leave for the people who are watching you from how you were influenced from the couples that were in your life when you were coming up. I'll say this. My husband and I, Jared, one thing that we absolutely bonded on is that our family dynamics are very similar. Both of our parents are still married. And that was something that absolutely we connected on. And the love and the closeness of the aunts and the uncles. And I'll say this, my legacy right now is in our children watching us. When I think about who my mother was, the view I had of her in her marriage as a young girl versus now as a woman, it's very, very different. Seeing my father for not just being my dad. Oh, you are a man. And you with this woman? Oh, who's my mom? Oh, hell. You know, like, I have such great sensitivity for women and mothers and the role that they play in their families. But I will say this, something that my son said the other day, he was expressing that he had a little crush on someone at school. And, you know, he said that he wanted to grow up and he's like, I want to take her out on a date and I want to marry her. And I was like, oh, hold on, slow your roll down. But I was like, oh, really? I was like, so what is it to you? What does it mean to be married? And he said, to be happy. And that to me was the legacy that I'm fighting for. Is that my children will look back and say, mommy and daddy loved each other. They were happy. And that's what I'm working towards.
Yeah.
She said, I'm not. Ours is to have fun until we ain't got no teeth in our mouths, until he's having to change my diaper.
That's a new type of fun with no teeth.
I want to do life with my best friend. And if you my best friend, then we are laughing. We're not just crying together. We're laughing together. We're working together. And I hope that's what my sons see. And also that we can be 100% authentic with each other. I play many roles on television. I don't want to have to play one when I'm at home. And I don't want my husband to have to feel that way either. So those are the two things that I can be 100% myself without the wig, without the makeup, and we can laugh. We have so many jokes, and I'm sure he's about to call me out when I get up off the stage. But I want that to always be the main line through us. We'll always have the love, but I want us to even more have the laughter.
I would say ditto to what Angel and Melanie have said, but also for me, it is, I think for us, is that we wake up every day and we choose to be here. We choose to be with each other. We choose to stick and stay. We choose to do what we need to do to maintain this partnership. So that's what's really important for us. It's a choice.
Child, ditto, ditto, ditto.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, I'm gonna go on and say thank you, ladies and Christian, so much. And thank you, you all, for your questions.